Hello.
Hi, okay. I have him on the other line. I'm going to conference him in.
Okay.
Okay, guys. I have Robert, who is the client, and Jackie, who will be your caregiver on the phone. You can introduce yourselves to each other and ask anything you'd like. I'm going to mute myself so you guys can talk amongst yourselves.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Thank you. Hi,
Yeah.
Robert. How are you?
Hi, Jackie. I'm doing good. You can call me Bob. Everybody calls me Bob.
Okay, Bob.
Bob is your nickname for Robert, so it's my mother and father started that when I was a wee kid, so
Oh.
still
So,
doing it
Bob,
now.
how's
Some
everything
people,
going?
oh, it's doing okay.
Are you
How
with the
about you? What?
company? Everything's good. Everything's good. Right now, starting with this new company. Really excited about meeting new clients. Previously from this, I was a memory care director. I led a 40-bed unit. Previous to that, I was also a memory care director. So I was with that company for about 7 years. Previously, another assisted living, I did 2 years with them as a memory care director. And then prior to that, I actually did home health. So I'm trying to get back to my roots right now and just trying to, go a little bit back. I feel like I lost a lot when after having kids, working in the field constantly was something that I felt like I lost a lot of time with them. So right now I'm gonna take a step back and I'm very excited to meet. I worked with seniors, I've worked with kids with neurocognitive illnesses. I'm a savvy teacher, so that means I work with the United Way and I teach classes for them on dementia and neurocognitive illnesses. I do have a lot of experience. I would train my staff to be able to take care of the residents in the assisted living. So I would do about six to 10 hours of training with them before they even touched anyone. So I'm excited to meet you. So Bob, tell me, do you have any family in the area?
Well, I live in Quakertown, on a place called Melody Lakes. I don't know if you're familiar with Quakertown at all. It's
I've been.
prefab homes. It's prefab homes here. So I moved, let's see. I'll start from the very beginning. How's that?
Yep, that's always the
I
best place to start.
originally was born in Cleveland, Ohio. In 69, I moved to Florida with my mom and dad because my dad got, he worked for General Electric Corporation. He was an electrical, or not electrical, mechanical engineer, and they needed one in Florida, and he ended up going there. Anyhow, so I lived there in Florida for, oh, until I became an adult, and I got married, and my mom and dad passed away,
I'm sorry.
and my spouse's mother and father passed away, so we had decided we were house parents. Down there, we took care of nine boys in
Wow.
what do they call it? House parent in a house,
Yeah, so was it like
and
a
we did
foster
that.
care? Like you were
It was like
fostering
a
them?
foster care, like fostering, but they were pulled out of homes by the state because some reason or another,
That was very
and
kind of
that's
you both
where the
to take nine boys is a lot. That's a lot.
there's a lot. Well, we stayed with that job for almost 2 years. We actually more like a year and a half, I guess. But the problem what we ran into, the company we were working for was not a Christian organization, and they wanted us to go to church. But on Sunday morning, if one child said, "No, I don't want to go," then nobody did. And that was what the company says. If one child says no, Nobody goes.
Oh, no.
Well,
so
I said, that's not right. So
yeah, that doesn't mean.
We ended up, we stayed with it, and then we decided we liked taking care of kids. We liked the job, but we just couldn't fathom the company we were working for.
Right.
So we started looking around. Being that our mother and fathers were gone, and I had a brother down there, and that was about it. And we, I had two brothers down there. But we decided we'd just look all over the United States for different places.
Mm-hmm.
And we found here in Pennsylvania, over in Warminster, Pennsylvania, a place called Christ Home. And it was cottages, and the same setup, we became the house parent. And where we had 8 children, 4 boys, 4 girls, ranges from ages to 4 till 16.
Well, you took on teenagers. You are a brave man.
That is a chore, I tell you. But, you know, they were all teenagers. They were mixed ages, you know, so It was good. So we did that for 5 years. And, of course, my wife and I, at the time, she could not have children. So we were looking into adopting. And we went through the classes and everything. Now, when we went down the county to go, we had to go to classes, they're willing to waive classes completely and just let us go ahead and adopt because of the jobs that we had.
Aww.
She says, you don't need any training. You've got plenty of training.
Not only I'm sure there's such a need for kids to be adopted, and they just stay in the system so long.
Well, they do. And I said, no. We need to go ahead and go through your course. Cross all our T's, dot all our I's, because I don't want to get before a judge ready for the adoption. And then in his wisdom, he would say, no, you've got to have to take your classes.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, let's cross all our T's and dot all our I's. So then we did that. We went through classes, got all that done. We became certified. Of course, we were certified at Christ Home too, but... It was, you know, so anyhow, we were in the process of finding a child, and we instead of looking anymore, we had decided that we wanted to give our notice in at Christ Home and move on. And like I told my wife, we need to go move on. Because it didn't seem like we were working. I mean, you're with the kids, you're taking care of kids. What was the job? You know, I mean, it was just a normal household. That's the way I looked at it, you know. So
you felt the need to get back into the work field.
Yeah, I felt the need to get back in the work field. And, so are the caseworker for 2 of the children there, Christian and Yasmin. They're a brother and sister. They had been with us since we went to work there. They came the first week that we and they came there at, one was almost 5 and the other one was 6.
And they were siblings already?
And they were siblings.
Okay.
So we were there with them. And they all, you know, we were just like mom and dad to them because they did have parents, but parents never paid any attention to them.
That's horrible.
So the caseworker, she said, you know, you're leaving here and you're looking to adopt. You're still looking to adopt. I said, yes, we are. So why don't you just adopt Christian and Yasmin? They're brother and sister. They know you. You know them. You're the only parents that they really, they're the only people like parents that they know. Why don't you adopt them? And I said, well, Christ Home had a policy. I'd go, we had to leave for 6 months and then come back and see if we child was still there, then we could adopt him. Well, the caseworker turned to us and she said, tell me, when you leave here, are you going to be driving paychecks when you do the Christ home? I said, no. Will you be working for them? No. Then that doesn't make any difference what their policies are. Don't worry about it. She says, you go ahead, get your house that you're going get, that you're moving into. Go ahead and give your notice and leave. And in 30 days, I'll have the kids there for you. And in 30 days, she's to her word, the kids came to live with us.
Aww.
So they became our children, and now they're adults. They're Christian is 27, and Yasmin is 28, if I remember right. And Yasmin, my daughter, she went to college, and she's got a master's degree in psychology.
Nice.
And my son, he just wanted to work. So I think he's working in a foundry. But, you know, boys, they don't talk to their parents much when they get adults.
Oh, please don't tell
myself,
me that. My son, like.
Myself, I know myself. My mom used to call us once in a while. Yeah, well, I will. I'll give you a call. And then, yeah, but you never call. I said, yeah, but look at it this way. If I call you, I got a problem. If you don't hear from me, I don't have any problems. But she didn't ever go over well. But like those words have come back to me now. So
my mom often does that to me as well. You don't call me.
Yeah. Yeah. So I said, well, that's a little bit of my history. And of course, then we moved up to Wilkes-Barre. We lived in Wilkes-Barre for, oh, I guess about 3 years. And then I was working part-time. I had problems. I was working, first I had a full-time job. I was working as a caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for American Head Caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was taking care of elderly. Okay.
Wow. How did you get into that?
Well, it was job application. I mean, mm-hmm. I saw the opening in the newspaper. I said, okay, I'll do that. My mother had multiple sclerosis. And until I took care of her for 11 years. Before I had gotten married. And so taking care of an elderly person was nothing hard for me, you know. So I did that for a while. And then I had to work on weekends. And my kids are complaining to me, Dad, you're never home on weekends. That's the only time we're home is on weekends, and you get home in the afternoon. You have to see in the evening, but we'd like to go some places in the weekend. I said, yeah, I know. So I looked for another job. I found a job as a security guard 5 days a week, and I had weekends off. So I said, well, I'll just take that. I mean, the money was about the same, so I had benefits and everything, so it wasn't bad. Well, that worked out for a while, and then I ended up getting sores on my feet from walking. I ended up with diabetes, and I got sores on my feet from walking around all around. Because I was walking about 2 miles a day, which kept my weight down, but that had caused other problems. So the doctor told me that you cannot be on your feet anymore. You need to go on what they call it, disability. So I went on disability. I was 57 and I went on disability. And that was all right. I mean, I was bored the first couple of weeks at home. And the kids loved it. I was there all the time. But that for a while. And then I went to work. And then I looked for something part-time during the day, but they were at school. And my wife at the time, she worked for a company called, it was a nonprofit organization. It was called REACH. And REACH was a company that helped the homeless. They had a center, so the homeless would come during the day. They could use telephone. They could they would have something. They'd have a place where they could have breakfast there. They would help them find work and so forth and so on. My wife at the time, she took the other end of it. They had another part of it that she had to go around to people who had children. That they had, she got referrals from the county, and what she had to do is teach parents how to be parents, what to do and what not to do, how you should raise your child and how you shouldn't do it. And when the caseworker comes to see you, don't ask her if she wants a beer. Don't ask your for a beer.
Do people do that?
But, yes, they did that. But the people did that. So she had to teach them. You don't do that. You want your kids. You want to keep your kids. Don't be doing that. So anyhow, we did that for a while.
Bob, real quick question. Was this more inner city kids that she was working with?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it sounds
Wilkes-Barre,
like it.
Wilkes-Barre. Yeah, it was Wilkes-Barre and Kingston area. They weren't really country. They were mostly all, it's little towns there, little cities. Mm-hmm. So she had all walks. And I got to know them all too, because at Christmas time I was going with her, because she got presents for all the kids. And I would go with her to help her carry the presents and so forth. And then they have a Christmas party for all the kids. And of course, I was Santa Claus. So I enjoyed that myself. But anyhow, so that was fine. Then that shortly after that is when I started getting problems with my feet and having problems walking and so forth.
And then, feeling in the leg, huh?
Yeah. And I ended up getting a job at REACH. Years before, when I was a young man, I worked in men's clothing and ladies' clothing. And so I understood clothing and I understand what people should wear. Well, they had what they call a clothes closet there. Mm-hmm. At REACH, and they need somebody to coordinate it. It was a part-time job, so I said, okay. So that's what I did. Well, somehow, in 2010, I was working there, and I got bit by a spider on my leg, and I didn't think anything about it. I killed the spider. I turned to my computer, and it was right there in the clothes closet, and I looked at it, and I looked it up, and I found it. There's a brown recluse. I didn't think anything of it. So I called my doctor. I didn't say, I'll come down, and I get just mad about it. So I did. I went over and saw him that day. He gave me a prescription. I went and got antibiotics. I took him for about a month. It seemed to, where the spider bit me, it seemed to heal up. Everything is fine. This is in November, and I went through December. In January, where that spider bit me, it kept the bite, it kept opening up, bleeding, and then was healed back up again. And so I called the doctor in the end of January and told him what he was doing. And he said, well, come on into the office this Monday. I said, all right. Well, I didn't make it to Monday. Sunday, when I woke up, that one Sunday before, my whole leg was swollen up like a watermelon. And to top everything off, my wife at the time and I, she weren't getting along too well. And I found out that morning that she had a boyfriend.
How long were you married at this point?
15 years.
Oh no.
So I says, well, okay. So she was gone for the weekend. Well, she'd picked the kids with her. with her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was by myself in the house. So I called, I had to call her on her cell phone and say, hey, you know, I got needs, I got problems. I need you, somebody to take me to the emergency room. And she says, well, I'll be honest with you. I got a boyfriend. I says, all right, you got a boyfriend. Like, now I need to go to the emergency room. And she says, well, she says, you know, I can't, you're a big guy. I can't get you out to the car by myself. Would it be okay if Rick come along? I says, Rick is his name? Yeah. I says, well, I'll tell you what, it don't matter. You can bring the devil himself. I don't care. I got to get to the emergency room. He came. He was a nice fella. He helped me out to the car. I got in the car, went to the emergency, and I was in the hospital then from that point. And then I had to go to a nursing home after it. And I didn't get out of the nursing home until May. So I was in there from the beginning of February to the end of May. And of course then, you know, we had basically separated. And it was put to me by my ex-wife. She says, well, she wasn't my ex-wife yet, but she was still my wife because they hadn't gotten divorced.
Yeah.
And she says, you know, you don't have any relatives where you're at. You're living alone. And I'm 2 hours away, but you need some. I said, yeah, I know. And he says, why don't you see about moving up here into Berwick area where I'm at? And if you need something, we'll be here to help you. So I thought about it and I says, you know, I don't condemn her for anything, and I won't do that because I won't put the kids in the middle.
Right.
And so I ended up moving up there a block from her house. And I got to say, her ex-husband and I became very good friends, or her husband became her husband.
Became
he
was
very
so
good
much
friends.
Better than me, I swear. I don't know if I could have done it.
I looked at, you know, I got kids. You know, I'm not going to.
No,
I'm
not, I understand that.
Play them against it. So I wasn't going to do that. Anyhow, so we ended up, I was living up there. I had problems with the leg again. Leg started swelling up. I went to the doctor. He kept binding my leg up, and it was worse and worse and worse. And then finally one night it just swelled up so bad. The next day, she comes sees me and she says, what do you want to do? Do you want to go to the hospital, or do you want to go to Berwick Hospital, or do you want to go to Danville up in Geisinger? Let's go to the Geisinger. I know Geisinger is a bigger hospital. I went to the Geisinger Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
The surgeon looked at my leg. He saw x-rays. He says, the reason why your foot and leg is swollen because you have 4 broken bones in your foot. That infection that you had has never gone away. It's in the bone, and it's rising.
So it became septic.
It becomes septic. And he says, best thing we can do is really, we could kill the infection, but then the bones are damaged. You're going to have to go through surgeries in order to pick them up, and could be in and out of the hospital 5 years.
How old were you at that point? Just a quick question.
I was 58.
68, okay.
And 58. And so he said, I think you could amputate and you'd be better off. I said, no, I don't want amputation.
That's a hard thing to accept. Absolutely.
It's the right leg. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking, lose the right leg, how are you going to drive a car? If it's left leg, not a problem. You can always drive a car. Right leg, you can't drive because you can't go on pedal. You can't work the pedal.
There's ways around that.
So,
number.
Yeah, well, I did try that. Anyhow, so I ended up on December the 6th, 2000, mm-hmm. and 2012, was it? No, 2011. The doctor, that afternoon, the doctor told me that, that morning, that afternoon, I called the nurse in, and I said, look, go hold the doctor and tell him I think I should do the amputation. Because I felt sick every day. I felt just horribly sick.
Yeah.
And so they said, okay. Nurse came in, and she said, okay, it's all set up. I said, okay. Well, I was thinking a couple of days. No. Next day was Monday? Yeah, it was that day. I had to, they come to get me, and I said, where am I going? You're going down to the surgery. For what? They said, you got to have your leg amputated. Then it really hit me good. So I just, I can't back go ahead and do it. So I lost my left leg, or my right leg. And so I ended up, Geisinger has a phenomenal system. I lost the leg. I didn't feel no pain at all the time I was in there. There was no pain at all. They had me so doped up on all kinds of drugs, mm-hmm. which was good. Yeah. And then they took me to their rehab place that they have for that. And I was there for the whole month, the rest of the month of December. I went home on January 1st. And I went from there. And so
there was physical therapy going on, right?
I had physical therapy going on. And then
occupational.
I joined this thing online, looked for somebody to share my life with.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the lady I'm with now, Marla.
Myla.
And Marla.
Marla.
Marla. And she's with, I'm with her now. And, we ended up, she was living in Norristown when I met her. We grew down there. And then just before she retired, we ended up moving up here to Quakertown. Quakertown and Melody Lakes. She just happened that her uncle had passed away and left her some money. So she said, listen, I want to retire and I want a house to retire to. I'm going to buy a house. And you can live there with me. And we, I said, okay. So we did. And we
How did you meet Marla?
Through online. I met her online. I met her online before I had the amputation.
Oh, I mean, so she kind of was with you through that whole process, like as you were like.
Well, not really, because no. I wasn't where my computer was. I was in the hospital.
Oh, that's true.
And that was before they had really, I guess they did have them, but I didn't have one. My cell phone was a flip top. The old flip.
Like a flip phone? I remember those.
Cell phone flips. Yeah,
mm-hmm. They were the hardest phone. Things to text on.
They were. And anyhow, I didn't talk to her at all. Time was in there. I wasn't there. And when I got back home, she wrote me several letters.
Aww.
And she kind of was wondering about me and so forth. So I thought,
she was
well,
worried.
This woman
she hadn't
did,
talked to you.
She was worried. Yeah. Right. So I got in touch with her. And the next thing you know, we were talking to each other on the phone. And then she came up to visit me a few times. And I came down to visit her. And she was a nurse. She worked in dialysis. So.
Well, that's helpful. Yes.
helpful. But of course, right now, she's she's just as bad, if not worse than I.
Oh, no.
Does Marla live
in the home, and so you guys are living together?
Yeah, we are living together. Her sons live here, too. Well, one son he's got multiple sclerosis, and he has schizophrenia. But they don't know whether it's the multiple sclerosis that causes schizophrenia or the schizophrenia that causes the multiple sclerosis.
So
he gets everything.
There's always a link
between
the two, yeah.
Yeah. So he's a good guy. You know, he's everything. Her other son moved in about a year ago, and he is he's going through a divorce himself.
Mm.
So, and in fact, he's in between jobs right now, and her other son, Patrick, is gone with his son up north Pennsylvania somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And his son does, groundskeeping, mowing lawns, big jobs, you know, like
oh,
10
like
acres at a time, you know.
That's what my fiancé
like
does,
but,
yep. My fiancé does landscaping.
Yeah, well, he was doing the, they were doing this one area that was solar panels.
Uh-huh.
And that was 10 acres.
Like putting them on the roof?
And they just, no, they were just mowing the lawn.
Oh, okay.
They just had to mow the lawn, the landscaping, mowing the lawn, because it has to be mowed. So he got that contract to do that. And Patrick went with him. If nothing else, he can't do a whole lot, but he does a little bit. But he went with him just kind of like so his son wouldn't be alone. So he's up with him. He won't be back till this Friday. And Brian, her other son, has just got another job, and he's going to be going for a couple weeks on his other job because he's like a roofer repair person. And he just has this job coming up where he's held them off until Patrick gets back because they take care of their mother. And that's the reason why I need someone here to help me because he helped with taking showers
mm-hmm.
and cleaning myself and need help to take care of things that I'm bad at.
No, you're not bad at it. It's just you need a little bit of help. So, I mean, you have to give yourself credit for the things that you can do. A lot of times we really think about what we've lost, but not what we still have. So that's really important
for
you to do that. Like, really,
I used to always say, the more I do, the more I can do.
Very good.
Up until last year, I was going out in the wintertime in my wheelchair, and I was shoveling the snow.
Look at you. I don't even like to shovel snow now when I'm good. Well,
I figured that every person shovels snow. I can't slip and fall. I'm sitting in a chair. Now, I slid around a lot.
Down the driveway, though. Like,
yeah,
I'd be scared.
Well, that happened a couple of times, but it didn't bother me. I had to shovel, and I just moved myself around. So, you know, it worked. But last year, I physically just knew I couldn't do it anymore. So
is this the first time that you're having someone come into the home and help you?
Yes.
Okay. So your expectation of me, what is it like you would like for me to do for you? Are you able to transfer yourself?
I can transfer myself.
Okay.
I have a limousine chair. a recliner. I have a recliner.
The one that kind of rises?
My limousine. Yeah, it rises
into a standing position.
It lowers you down, you know, right.
Okay.
And right now I have One of the main problems I have is an ulcer on the bottom of my foot.
Do you know what stage it's in? Do you know what stage the ulcer is in?
Well, I'm not sure. It was as big as on the heel of my foot, and it was as big as a silver dollar.
Okay, so you're probably in stages 2 and 3 right now.
Right.
Do you have wound care coming in for you?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what company do you use?
St. Luke's.
Okay.
St. Luke's comes in 3 times a week, and they change the bandage. And then once every 2 weeks, I go to the wound center, wound care at St. Mm-hmm. Luke's Hospital, the old hospital, and they check it out and they measure it and they look at it and they give the orders to the nurses to what they need to do. So,
have they impacted the wound yet or no?
Well, I don't know what you mean by impact.
Sorry. It's when they start putting things inside of the wound to try to get it healed and then, like, remove it?
No, the only thing that they've done is put things on the top of it. They got this stuff that looks like...
So it's probably only in stage 2. Yep.
Looks like a black piece of rubber they put on it.
Have they given you any adaptive devices so you can keep your limbs up so it doesn't affect the wound? So, for instance, you're talking about the heel.
Well, that's the reason why I got the recliner. So I'm in the recliner majority of times during the day, except when I'm up maybe eating or going to the bathroom or cleaning up. Now, when I get showered, it's a sink shower. Yeah, I can't get the foot wet. So
You
can't get the foot wet. So
okay.
Now St. Luke's has been having their aides come in twice a week and help me wash. But that was just temporary until I got somebody. And
at least they've been assisting you in this meantime to get washed. And right now you're just doing inside care, correct?
Right, yeah. But it's just doing the, just getting washed in the sink. I can wash my front parts.
It's just the back. So when we're standing.
My back, bottom. Those, and I can't look back there. If I have any sores or anything, I can't tell. So they kind of watch and see.
Skin assessments need to be done routinely, correct?
Mm-hmm. I need that done routinely. Because
skin assessments
because
of the bruising.
The way I was doing before then, the way I was doing it was kind of just taking a hand towel and putting the soap on it and rubbing my back. That's the way I could do it.
Now, do you have a bath chair in your bathroom where we sit you down so you can do this? Okay.
You can do that there, or you can do it in the bathroom is big. I can go in there in my wheelchair and turn it around.
Is there a heater in your bathroom?
A huge shower. I could go in there with my wheelchair.
Nice.
And I have done that. So it's a huge shower. And
so do you have we can't get your left leg wet. So there's no bath chair then. Okay.
Not really. Well, there is a bath chair in the shower, but not really a bath chair. I know what you're talking about. No.
Yeah.
Well,
not one that you roll in.
I stay in the wheelchair, and the aide that comes here, she helps me wash in front of me. And then I stand up, and I have a bar against the wall that is solid.
Mm-hmm.
And I grab a hold of that, and then she can wash.
Okay. So, have you had many falls?
You know what? I've been really good. Knock on wood. Where's the wood?
Nice. I'm knocking for you over here,
knock
too.
On the head. Okay. I have not had any falls because I think about what I'm doing before I do it.
Okay.
And now when I don't think about what I'm doing, it's always my fault. Like, one day the nurse was here, and I was getting up from my wheelchair to get into the recliner, and I don't know what I was thinking about. I guess I was gabbing what I should have been thinking. And I didn't lock the chair.
The wheelchair, so it slid back.
So when it stood up, and it slid back, and then I went down. And it was a male nurse. He was here, and he looks at me and says, "What are you doing down there?" I says, "I just decided to sit down here a while."
Aw.
So
when was the last time that you were in the hospital, first day?
Okay. Oh, that's easy. I was in the hospital on April 24th. I went in there at 11:59.
Okay.
April 24th. You
know
how I know
it was
April 24th?
Oh, it's my ex-husband's date of birth.
That's my birthday, April
24th. Oh, you sure it was my ex-husband? There you go. I'll never forget it now.
So, April 24th, that's my birthday. Anyhow, what did I go in? Oh, that day was the day I went in to the wound center for my foot. And I was waiting for the Bucks County Transport to come pick me up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was done at 11 o'clock. But I don't know what happened that day, but they couldn't come and get me until 5:30 that day. So I sat outside all day waiting for them to come. And my foot began to hurt, and there wasn't a whole lot I could do about it. Finally, at 5:30, they come and got me. Talk about exhausted. I was just totally exhausted and tired. And my foot was aching. And, I mean, there were nights they had fixed dinner for me, and they fixed a birthday cake, you know, everything. So then about 11 o'clock, I went in to get in bed. Miss Marla, she had already gotten in bed.
I'm sure that was a good night's sleep, though. You were so tired.
Well, not yet.
No.
Because I got in there to get into bed, and I tried to get up, and I was so tired, I didn't have any more strength. I couldn't stand. And so I fell in between the bed and the wheelchair.
Oh, no.
So she called her son to come in. He was holding me up, and I said, Brian, just let me down on the floor. You can't hold me up, and I can't get up, and you can't push me up. It's too heavy. Just let me down. So they let me down, and we called 911. They came over. The woman went to, she was going to check my vitals, touched me. She stopped what she was doing. She went and got the thermometer. She checked my temperature. I had 103 temperature.
Oh, no. Infection.
And infection had set in.
Yep.
And so she says, well, you're going to the hospital. I said, well, usually you ask if I want to go. I'm not asking.
Well, at 103, you can have a seizure. Like, those are, like, once you start going up to those temperatures, it's almost like, and I would probably be the same, like, no, we got to go. Like, not a question.
That's what she said. You got to go. So I ended up that night. That's why I says it was April 24th at 11:59.
I got it written down. I'm writing up notes here.
11:59. They admitted me into the hospital. And I was there for a good solid week I was on intravenous antibiotics. In the morning and in the early afternoon and evening. So I didn't like it, but I mean, it got me well enough to come home. So.
Well, that's good.
But
so mainly the times that you've been to the hospital has been mainly for the wounds.
mainly for this wound, yeah.
Okay, so we really got to keep an eye on the wounds.
Right, now, yeah, we have to keep an eye on that.
Okay, so will I be needing to replace the patching, or they come in and do it automatically?
No, they will come automatically and do it.
So all I got to do is keep
tomorrow,
it dry?
Yeah. Tomorrow, the wound people, the nurse, there's several different nurses, but the one nurse, she'll come tomorrow, one of the other ones, and change the bandage. Then on Friday, there'll be somebody else come back. And then on Monday, I go to the wound center.
Now, will I be taking you to the wound center, or do you get transportation?
Well, I get transportation, but I would. That was my other question.
Sure.
You can go with me?
Of course I can. That would be part of my day with you. Yeah.
Okay, that would be good, because the reason I say that, because I haven't had to do it yet, but today I was might be close to it, because I had to go over to see the doctor today. And it's the same place, the old Quakers on Hustle. And I know I had to use the bathroom.
Okay.
And I don't use the bathroom over there because I'm by myself.
So what difficulties do you have when you're using the bathroom? So you can stand up.
I want somebody there to be sure that I'm not having any problems.
Okay.
That's all.
Are you wearing any incontinence briefs right now?
I do. I wear briefs every day. Briefs, and I even put the pads on the inside of them, so that helps out. That gives you a little extra life to the briefs.
No, I know it does.
Because they get expensive, so
they do get expensive. So you are wearing incontinence briefs. There is some incontinence. How is your skin area in that region? Is there any, niacin powder that we have to use? Is there any redness at this point?
I've been using is regular baby powder, but I usually get chaps in between the legs. That's where I usually get chaps. And I usually put baby powder on. And baby powder seems to do the job.
It is, but I'm not a doctor, but the best one to use is going to be niacin powder.
Yeah, I know. I used to have that, but I baby powder was cheaper. Although they do make a prescription out of it, and I can get it from the pharmacy. Now, my medicine comes from small town pharmacy. And they give me everything in blister packs. So
we're going to have to keep that area dry.
Yeah,
very dry.
That's what I need to do. They had something in the hospital, which I haven't picked. I need to look on Amazon and see. It was a cloth that they could put down in between my thigh and stomach. And that helped keep me dry.
So are you talking about like a dry cloth?
Yeah, it was a dry cloth, like, and you could take it out, you could wash it back in. Once
also,
clean,
it's reusable.
It's dry, you know. It's reusable. And they had that in the hospital. I was in the hospital when I went. And it really was, they come in, and of course, they wouldn't wash it. I think they throw it away, but they would come in every couple of days and then put a new one in. And of course, they're washing every day too. So,
we'll look into that. So, keeping that area clean. How about your upper extremities? Like, are you able to do that?
I do majority of my upper extremities. I have an electric shaver. I have an electric shaver that I use, an electric shaver, but I can shave with a safety razor. They tell me because I take Eliquis, blood thinner.
Yeah, that blood thinner.
So they really want. Yeah, they really want me to use electric razor. But like this past week, I had something wrong with the razor. I needed to change the blades in it, and I didn't get to it. So I said, well, I shaved the old-fashioned way.
Okay.
I have a mug, and I put a soap bar of soap in it, and I have a brush.
Okay.
And I do it that way. And that my dad showed me that when I was just starting to shave. He said, this is the way you're going to learn to shave, not through a can, through this mug. And so, of course, he used to shave with a straight razor. I never did it again.
Hi, guys. I'm going to have to cut you guys off. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
But you can.
That's all right.
Listen, she's gonna be there all the time now, so you'll be able to talk.
Right.
But, you've lived a very interesting life, and I'm very happy to put the two of you together because I think you guys are going to work well together.
It sounds like we will. I really think so.
I really think so. So thank you, Jacqueline, for being so open and welcoming.
Oh, that's what I do, though. That's what I'm used to.
It sounds good. I really, really think it will work out real good.
So, Robert, what I'm going to do, I need to talk to the authorization department to find out how many hours you have to work with for the rest of this month, because I know that for the month of August, they had cut you down to 10 hours. And then starting in September, it's going back up to the 32 hours. So I'm going to see exactly how many units or hours you have so that we could come up with the schedule for until September. And then you can discuss a schedule when she comes over for the 32 hours, okay?
That's fine. That's fine.
Does that sound good, Jacqueline? Okay.
Well, it sounds perfect, Bob. It was so very nice to meet you over the phone. I can't wait to meet you.
Oh, it was very nice. Well, I can't wait to meet myself. So I guess Friday morning will be the morning to start.
I believe so. So I'm gonna just get the get the confirmation from the authorizations department, and I will reach out if there's more than 10 hours. I'll let you know. And
I'm sure there is because I haven't had anything.
I know you haven't had anything, so I'm pretty sure there is two. So I just need to confirm it, though. Okay.
Right.
All right, guys.
Jackie's got my phone number.
I'm going to send it over to her right now, okay? I'll text it to her right now.
Just call me before you try to get here so I can give you directions.
Okay. Alrighty. Thank you so much, Bob.
All right.
Thank you both. I'll talk to you soon. I'll talk to both of you.
Thank you. We'll talk to y'all soon. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.